Young Turks, I'm your host, Shane Huger. We got an awesome show for you tonight. Yes, Ted Cruz is up first, batter up. Hold, I'm gonna get to him in a second. Apparently that's what he did, he held. Anyways, now I'm just getting started, Edwin. I'm just getting started. Hold tight. Okay, we're gonna release in a sec. Hold, okay. Anyway, so that's a very important story, obviously. But also later in the program, we might be inching towards an impeachable offense. Drums, and that is important drums. Furthermore, Democratic Party beginning to grow a spine. We've got 12 people on the board now all of a sudden for Medicare for All. The amazing, amazing momentum. I'm gonna tell you exactly what's happening there. You gotta hear that story and how we're doing it, how it's happening, okay? And then in the second hour, a wonderful piece of political correctness by the right wing. So they are insisting that we use different politically correct terms, and it's not about climate change. It's literally unbelievable. Okay, anyway, that's in the second hour. We got a great, amazing show for you guys. Time for Ted Cruz. Let's go. Okay. Ted Cruz is the conservative family values senator from Texas. That's what he tells us all the time. So it was curious that late last night he liked something on Twitter that's got everybody scratching their heads, if you will, as to what he was doing and thinking last night. Let's show you a PC version of the tweet here, or a PG version, I should say. Now, what that lady is looking at is a couple copulating in the living room. She is then excited by that copulation and winds up pleasuring herself. Now, this is a thing that Ted Cruz is very much against. He even wrote legal briefs against pleasuring yourself, which I'll get to in a little bit. So it's not just a silly story, it also has important ramifications, if you will. So, of course, Twitter then immediately exploded, as did apparently Senator Cruz. Okay, just getting started. So he was referencing a porn there. Apparently, he very, very much liked it, or someone on his staff, or his staff very much liked it. And so there's no question that it was liked, and it stayed up for at least 40 minutes. Now, I'm going to show you a couple of my own tweets here, and we're just warming up here because the main thing I want to show you is your guys' response to my tweets. So I wrote, "Can't wait for the Ted Cruz book. If I did it, here's how it happened." Actually, wait. Wouldn't read that book if my life depended on it. Then I went to, first Ted Cruz was known as a serial killer, now he's known as a serial masturbator. What a catastrophe. So now I'm gonna get to the serial masturbator in a second, because this is not his only masturbation controversy, believe it or not. This is an awesome story. Okay, then I went to hashtag what happened is no longer just the title of Hillary's book. It's the reaction Ted Cruz has this morning when he turned on Twitter. Then here's the main reason I'm sharing these tweets. The responses from you guys were awesome. Here was the first response to that last tweet. Why? What happened with the lady? That's such a great picture. I love that picture. Why? What happened? Okay, I saw a couple of screenshots, and one was the couple in mid-copulation. The other one was when she had gone to work on herself and the guy was outside. And boy, I mean, these are some hard issues to tackle, okay? But Ted Cruz is the man for the job. I know it's a little sticky, but anyway. So now, then somebody said in this tweet, which now might be my favorite picture of all time, that's Ted Cruz dialing for Donald Trump with Jordan's crying face on it. You guys are awesome. All right, so now then there's general Twitter. They went to work on my homes too, as did he himself. So here is Matthew writing in. It's Matthew D'Ambrosio. Me waiting for Ted Cruz to respond to this drama. Okay, and then here's Jon Favreau. This is the night that Ted Cruz became president. That's really funny. Okay, then his old Princeton roommate got back into the action. Now, this guy's name is Craig Mazin. He roomed with Ted Cruz, and he is the first one to point out that Ted Cruz is a serial masturbator. So he had pointed this out back in 2016 when Cruz was running for president. He said, "Ted Cruz thinks people don't have a right to, quote, stimulate their genitals. I was his college roommate. This would be a new belief of his." Now, so that's an old controversy. I'm gonna get back to that, because that actually is the substantive part of this story. Ted Cruz is wanted to put people in jail for pleasuring themselves. I'm not kidding. So I can't wait to see who he's gonna lock up in his own office, whether it's him or his staffer. Okay, we'll get to that in a second. But Craig Mazin, his roommate, now jumps back in today and says, now imagine Ted Cruz is doing this 4 feet below you in the bottom bunk bed. Yes, my misery very much appreciates your company. Now look, if Ted Cruz was a young male masturbating in college, that is not going to be breaking news. And it might actually be one of the most human things he's done. On the other hand, doing it while the other guy is still in the room, I hope not a direction a lot of other dudes went in. Okay, so I mean, how uncomfortable that, hey, I'm your freshman year roommate, good to meet you. All right, anyway, let's call it a night. What in the world is he doing? Jesus Christ, you're awkward, Ted. And then speaking of awkward, just a little while ago, he had tweeted this. We have to deliver now. I believe we can come together. We have to. That sounds like something Ted might say. We have to come together. We have to. All right, Ted. All right. Okay. So Craig is also thinking along the similar lines as I am, his college roommate. Sadly, the fact that Ted Cruz jacks off to mediocre porn spam is the most human thing we can say about him. This is actually his high point. I agree. Well, actually, it was maybe a little bit high and then not high at all anymore after that. But I don't know that it was mediocre. I've yet to watch that clip, but I thought, I wonder who she is. Why is she looking in? Who are they? How does this all end? I know how it ended for Ted Cruz. Anyway, look, him masturbating to porn. Whatever, who cares? I don't care. I don't care that he did it in college, although Ken, have the decency to wait for your roommate to leave the room. And I don't care that he does it as a senator or as a grown man. What I do care about is his hypocrisy. Back in 2004, he was the Solicitor General for the state of Texas. He wrote a 76-page brief. Let me tell you what was in that brief. Let's go to Vanity Fair here. He was defending a state law banning the sale and advertisement of sex toys, or quote, obscene devices, as he called them, an offense he then punishable by up to 2 years in jail. In fact, he continued banning obscene devices. He continued, banning obscene devices was in the public interest, and the government should be granted police powers for the purposes of, quote, discouraging prurient interests in sexual gratification, combating the commercial sale of sex, and protecting minors, indeed. He went on to say, furthermore, using obscene devices, the state argued, was akin to hiring a willing prostitute or engaging in consensual bigamy. Now that is, I don't even know where that logic is going. That's so insane. I can't even keep up with that. But if you went with Ted Cruz's logic that he himself wrote, I guess Ted Cruz is a bigamist for having sex with himself. That logic is so insane. Maybe he needed a sex device, so that's him and another object making him a bigamist of some sort, or that he is basically prostituting himself. It is not my insane logic, it's Ted Cruz's insane logic. This is why he's considered an intellectual heavyweight on the right. And then here comes the killer quote from Ted Cruz and the rest of the guys who wrote this brief. There is no substantive due process right to stimulate one's genitals for non-medical purposes unrelated to procreation or outside of an interpersonal relationship. Wow! He said there is no substantive due process right to stimulate one's genitals. Hey man, here's what I have to say to that. Lock him up. Lock him up. He thought that should be a sentence of 2 years in jail if you stimulated yourself in the general area. Well, if it wasn't him, it was definitely somebody on his staff, one way or another, that was getting stimulated last night in Ted Cruz's office. I assume he's looking to throw them in jail as we speak. This is the insanity that is the right wing today in America. So Frank Thorpe, the fifth, writes in, Ted Cruz just now just jokes about light porn tweet. So he's trying to make light of it now that he's in a lot of trouble. Not in a lot of trouble, but like in an awkward situation. He says, Cruz apparently said, perhaps we should have done something like this during the Indiana primary. Yuck, 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 yuck. Could have helped with my re-erection campaign. Okay. Wait, are you a family values guy or not? Should people go to jail for stimulating their own genitals or should they not? Or all of a sudden, like, we should try this in Indiana, man. You know, because in Indiana, you know how the right wing in Indiana is. Nonstop masturbation. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so now that the joking by Cruz has subsided, who are you going to blame? Because there's no way he's going to take on blame. You know who he's going to blame. His own staff, if you will. And which is correct one way or another. All right, so there, he said there are a number of people on the team who have access to the on the account. It appears that someone inadvertently hit the like button. When we discovered the post, which was, I guess, an hour or two later, we pulled it down and then up and then down and then up and then down and then we were done with it. Okay, fine, he didn't say that last part. Okay, if you notice, that was a non-denial denial. He said there are a number of people on the team who have access. He didn't say I didn't do it. He's one of the people who has access. He said it appears someone inadvertently hit the button. He didn't say who. And he said when we discovered the post, we pulled it down. He did not deny that it was him. And he is a lawyer. He writes 76-page briefs. He knows what he's saying. He says it was a staffing issue. Again, you could take that two different ways. And it was inadvertent. It was a mistake. It was not a deliberate act. We're dealing with it internally. And then we're dealing with it inside and outside, then inside, then outside. But it was a mistake. It was not malicious. He never denied it. So then finally a reporter, as he's leaving, is like, wait, wait, but is it you or someone else? Was it you, Senator Cruz? And he, according to the reporters, whispered, no. Oh, Teddy. 2 years. Lock him up. Lock him up. Which then could be a different porn, which Reality Kings could be interested in. They have made this offer. Reality Kings would like to offer Ted Cruz a free lifetime membership for making our morning so special. DM us. Hashtag Ted Cruz did nothing wrong. Yes, today or late last night, he did nothing wrong. We are progressives. We don't care what you do with your own sex life or your own members or whatever it is that you're doing. And if you fire your staffers now, don't do that. Don't to have a scapegoat. Then you'll be short-staffed, which we suspected you were anyway. Anyway, don't punish your staff. That's what you were doing last night. So we don't want any of that stuff happening. But what we do want is for Ted Cruz to come out and say, I'm sorry, I should have never written that memo saying that people who stimulate their own genitals should be imprisoned. That was a terrible mistake of mine, because obviously, at a minimum, someone on my own staff would be locked up if I had it my way. I'm waiting for that apology. That is unlikely to come, but unlike Ted Cruz. But at least we know what an incredible hypocrite Senator Cruz is now, if you didn't already know it. It has at least now reached a conclusion, a culmination, if you will. Okay. I could have gone on, but I think I did enough. I think I did enough work there. Okay, let's now go on to serious issues. I kind of loved holding his staff accountable. Anyway, serious issues on the left now. Okay, recently Susan Sarandon sent an innocuous tweet, one that is meant to be productive and helpful to progressive causes, which is unsurprising, given that Susan Sarandon is incredibly progressive, and everybody's known this for a long time. And since she was progressive, she was for the more progressive candidate in the primaries and then in the general election. So none of this is surprising. So she wrote a tweet saying, I stand with the dreamers who make our country stronger. Check out the thread below to see how you can defend DACA now. So she's trying to make sure that the dreamers are not kicked out of the country. Okay, that seems great. No, not to some. For the Hillary Clinton supporters, they found this to be outrageous. So there was an article written by Brandy Amara Sky on BET with this headline. Liberal celebrities who help elect Trump kindly shut the fuck up about DACA. Is that right? Was it Susan Sarandon who ran Hillary Clinton's campaign? She was the campaign manager. That's news to me. I didn't know that. Because was it Bernie Sanders who lost to Donald Trump? No. I mean, it was Hillary Clinton, right? Maybe I'm getting it wrong. I'm not a journalist who works for BET or Daily Banter, etc. So maybe I'm getting confused here. But it's not just Susan Sarandon. They also went after Rosario Dawson. Here is somebody saying, Robin Stowe on Twitter going, Rosario Dawson says Hillary Clinton is not a leader at a DNC event. Now that's just a tweet just mentioning that Rosario says that Hillary's not a leader in that. But in the BET article, Rosario Dawson's attacked. By the way, they're not the only ones. They also attacked Colin Kaepernick. They say, well, I mean, he was great for fighting for black rights by taking a knee during the national anthem and it cost, but he said that he did not vote in the election, so he got an FU as well and a middle finger and a tweet. Now here's another person on Team Hillary who's outraged that these celebrities were actually more progressive than them. But now they are pretending that these celebrities are less progressive. It's very confusing. I'll sort it out for you in a second, including Hillary Clinton quotes that you might find quite edifying. All right, so here we go to Molly Manglewood. She tweets, voting third party is a good way to let marginalized groups know that your abstract principles are more important than their very real lives. You know, there's another good way of letting people know that is by losing to Donald Trump. Okay, but anyway, we'll get to that in a second. So now I did not vote for a third party candidate, and I worked very hard against Hillary Clinton in the primaries because I thought she was an inferior candidate. I was 100% right about that, and all of the polling was on our side and against all these people who now say, oh my God, I can't believe we lost to Donald Trump. Well, that's because you ran a candidate that was clearly scientifically worse than Bernie Sanders. I don't think that's our fault, I think that's your fault. Now, whether somebody voted for a third party candidate or not is a nice excuse for Hillary Clinton, the person that you guys love who lost to Donald Trump. But it is a very poor excuse. I know the weather wasn't right and Comey and Russia and all of that. Who ran the campaign? Who lost to a guy who was sitting at a 37% approval rating on the day of the election? God, you guys are pathetic, honestly. Danny Funero writes in, now attacking Rosario, among others, and Cornel West. Here we go. Oh yeah, trust me, I'm not forgetting you, Rosario Dawson, or you, Cornel West. They all contributed to what we have now, should be ashamed. Okay, so Cornel West fighting for civil rights his whole life doesn't count because he did not bow his head to the establishment candidate. Now, Cornel West said that the establishment candidate was a candidate who had a better chance of losing to Donald Trump and the Republicans, thereby endangering the Dreamers. He was right about that, but no. Now, Brother West, you are part of the elite. Now, wait a minute, he was for the more progressive guy. Nope, doesn't matter. But he was for the guy who had a much better chance of winning, according to every single poll, including on the day of the election, Bernie Sanders had a 12-point lead to Donald Trump, whereas Hillary Clinton lost to Donald Trump. Nope, I don't believe in polls, I don't believe in math, I don't believe in science, I don't believe in anything. I must protect the establishment while pretending that Susan Sarandon, Rosario Dawson, etc. are the elite. Okay, this is hilarious. So before I go further, I must clarify Hillary Clinton's position on this. So let's go to 2014, when Hillary Clinton spoke about this issue. Let's see what she had to say about kids who have come into the country and whether they should stay.
But we have to send a clear message. Just because your child gets across the border, that doesn't mean the child gets to stay. So we don't want to send a message that is contrary to our laws or will encourage more children to make that dangerous journey.
It looks like there was a candidate who was not for kids who had made it into the country, into America, staying. It was not just Donald Trump, it was Hillary Clinton. You're not allowed to say that about our beloved establishment, Hillary Clinton. Well, I didn't say it, she said it. Look, I want to be super fair here. I'm going to give you the full context of that conversation. Okay? So later, Hillary Clinton switched her position and said, oh yeah, DACA, Dreamers, yeah, I'm trying to win an election here. And she would say, well, I wasn't referring to the Dreamers, I was referring to people who were just coming in through the border, and we had a lot of folks coming in through the border in 2014. Who would one day become potentially Dreamers. But anyway, give you the full context, here's the whole video.
There is not sufficient law enforcement or will on the part of the governments of those countries to try to deal with this exponential increase in violence, drug trafficking, the drug cartels, and many children are fleeing from that violence.
Should they be able to stay here? It's safer.
It may be safer, but that's not the answer. I do not.
Should they be sent back?
Well, first of all, we have to provide the best emergency care we can provide. We have children 5 and 6 years old who have come up from Central America. We need to do more to provide border security in southern Mexico.
They should be sent back now.
Well, they should be sent back as soon as it can be determined who responsible adults and their families are. But we have to send a clear message. Just because your child gets across the border, that doesn't mean the child gets to stay. So we don't want to send a message that is contrary to our laws or will encourage more children to make that dangerous journey.
Remind me who's for DACA and who's not for DACA. Who's for the Dreamers and who's not for the Dreamers? Now you're telling me because Susan Sarandon, Rosario Dawson, etc., said, "Hey, we don't necessarily trust Hillary Clinton to do the right thing here," because in the past, and not the distant past, that was 2014, she spoke out against children who came here being sent back. Are you for sending them back? Well, I mean, once we got a guardian in a country, yeah, we sent them back. Bernie Sanders didn't say that. Even Jill Stein didn't say that. Hillary Clinton said it. So do your homework first. But nonetheless, here goes Sky again. "We're not just angry at you," she says to the celebrities. "We're angry at all those people who didn't listen when we tried to tell them that the sky was falling, that all this was going to happen. But the difference is their Twitter feeds don't reach millions. Their words didn't make headlines and influence many of the millennials who opted to stay home on election day. They weren't nearly as effective in trying to convince the world a purity test mattered more than white supremacy. That was all you, boo." Well, Brandy, you supported the candidate that wound up losing the election. That was all you, boo. You wound up supporting a candidate that actually wanted to send the kids back. That was all you, boo. They supported a candidate who had an excellent chance of winning. And if he had won, not only would he have not done any of the things that Donald Trump has done, or potentially the things that Hillary Clinton would have done, but he would have gone further in helping those communities. And when he promised to help those communities more, Hillary Clinton now in her book writes about, he wanted everybody to have a pony. So when you fought for Hillary Clinton, that was all you, boo. Bernie Sanders did not lose the election to Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton did. It is amazing that I have to remind people of that almost every day. We did a poll here, I don't want to repeat it here, but who lost, who's more responsible for losing the election? Because in Washington, among the elite and the establishment, they genuinely believe it's Bernie Sanders, which is so mental. Our poll has it at 97.4% Hillary Clinton lost the election, and 2.6% saying Bernie Sanders is the one who lost the election. I don't know who the 2.6% are, but you can go ahead and vote on it. It's tytnetwork.com/lost. But apparently we have to keep reminding these people. Okay, one last one from Brandy. She says, "And the reality of your privilege is this, your delusion of sameness has cost us our bodies, our rights, and our security, while your own remains unscathed. Is this the solidarity, the power of the people of which you speak? Is this what you want us to rally behind, your false ideals and movement of disconnected privilege?" So for fighting for the little guy, whether it's Sanders, who I did during the primaries. Now, I didn't vote for Stein, but I don't begrudge them voting for Stein. You see, because it is the responsibility, and I cautioned against it, and I didn't think that it was the right thing to do. But that was my opinion, and I don't hate them for voting for Stein, because Stein is not what cost Hillary Clinton the election. Hillary Clinton is the one who cost herself the election. So the much greater mistake was picking her in the primaries in the first place, and guess who was in favor of that? The elite. So don't go around pretending these guys who fought for more progressive candidates are somehow the elite and have their privilege. No, you backed the most pro-establishment status quo candidate of our lifetimes. So don't pretend you're not the elite. Don't pretend that the other guys are the elite when it's just not remotely true. Now, finally, we go to the Daily Banter, who is, you know, if you remember my previous piece on them, there is not a Hillary Clinton thing that that they will not get behind. There is not a Bernie or a progressive position they won't attack. So they're like, oh yes, let's jump in this. They asked, but what has Susan Sarandon done? Here's a couple of highlights since the election. She's refused to apologize for her previous remarks. Why won't you bow your head, Susan? Why do you continue to have progressive positions? while we pretend to be more progressive than you, but said during the primaries you were too progressive. Well, Daily Banter's forte is not logic. And apparently she's also fought Deborah Messing on Twitter. I did not know that that was a grave offense. I don't know where Messing stands, but I didn't realize that was a thing that you can. Now you messed with Deborah Messing. Remember, you guys are celebrities, but my celebrity Deborah Messing is awesome. It's funny how that works. And Katy Perry's awesome because she was behind Hillary Clinton. All my celebrities are great. You know what you guys sound like? Republicans. Ronald Reagan's awesome. Donald Trump is awesome. Ted Nugent is awesome. Oh, but you liberal elite celebrities. We hate celebrities. Unless there are celebrities. Hey, they did a concert for Hillary. I love them so much. Okay. Jeremy Fassler from the Daily Fluffer continues that Saran is preferring to spend her time retweeting sophists on Twitter and going to film festivals. You know why she's doing that? Because she's an actress. That's her job. Again, sounding like a Republican. What are these liberal guys doing? Going to film festivals? Yeah, that's called working for a living if you work in films. Okay, finally, one more from the banter. Her statement on DACA is as empty as the ones Republican politicians make after mass shootings occur, and the same rebuttal to them applies to her. Ms. Sarandon, fuck your thoughts and prayers. Okay, you know, I'm not your run-of-the-mill progressive that you're used to in Washington, D.C. that goes, oh my God, I am shocked and chagrined. Let's call for civility and unity. And of course, that's a trick. The unity is unite behind Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. Otherwise, we'll blame you for all the things that Republicans have done. Oh, really? How have Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and Hillary Clinton done in defeating Republicans? Oh, right. They have a miserable, miserable record. They lose to Republicans all the time. Why do you think we want to get rid of them? They have lost the House, the Senate, the White House to a monster, the Supreme Court, 69 out of 99 state legislators. But you keep telling me, Daily Banter and Sky and all these people who are still tweeting about Hillary Clinton and how awesome she is and how we should have bowed our head to her, that somehow the Democratic Party knows how to win? And that if we don't support the Democratic establishment, then we are responsible for what Republicans do? No, you're responsible for Donald Trump and the Republicans because your candidate, the one you backed, is the one that ran against them, is the one that lost to them. I don't want to keep repeating this stuff. I get tired of it too. But when they go out there and do their propaganda on 1,000 different outlets, who else is going to fight back? And then when we fight back, they go, oh yeah, you see that? There goes the Young Turks. And they keep talking about blaming Hillary Clinton for the loss. While you guys are blaming everyone else under the sun and using all of the mainstream media to do it. It's gross. So yes, we will fight back. And for your stupid idea to back the establishment candidate, then I return it right to you. I don't believe in civility or unity under your umbrella. So fuck your thoughts and prayers. Instead, we could have won. We could have protected the Dreamers, but it was your fault that we didn't. Not a little bit, 100% your fault. Okay, I think that was clear. We can move forward. Are we still having these conversations? Whose fault was it, Hillary Clinton or a fucking ghost? Who ran against Trump? I mean, what a lunatic fringe idea that the establishment has embraced. Oh no, it wasn't Hillary. It wasn't Hillary. It was someone else. It was cast with a friendly ghost. It was Scooby-Doo. She would have gotten away for it if it wasn't for you. What is it? Meddling kids. You millennials. Why didn't you? You had to do your duty to the establishment and bow your head and vote for her. It's your fault. She didn't energize you. She didn't give you a reason to vote. Who cares? Your fault. Fuck off already. Okay, let's move forward. Now let's go to the next Democratic establishment trick. Okay. Now, I get some heat sometimes because I don't believe that there's enough evidence to show the Democratic Party actually went in and manipulated votes and changed votes during the primaries. Okay? But I do believe that they did go ahead and change the debate schedule. They did affect which polling stations were closed and not closed. And they did everything they could to make sure that their favorite candidate, Hillary Clinton, won. And so I don't want to get into the definitions of rigged or not rigged, but Was it obvious that the DNC wanted Hillary Clinton to win? Of course. You could read the emails, you could see their actions. Let's put debates in the middle of the night against football and have as little as possible, because God forbid we should have the national spotlight and want to get our own progressive ideas out. The Republicans will have 58 debates and they will pound Republican messages home. We'll have 6 debates and try to wrap this thing up because we love Hillary Clinton. That is super obvious at this point. So that's the past. But now they have a very interesting trick that they are planning to play for 2020. And I want to give you a heads up on it so that we're not trying to scramble fighting this well after it's already passed and 3 years down the road. So they want to move up the California primary. Now, why do they want to do that? That seems innocuous. Let me read you the quote from Politico here. If adopted by the legislature this week, as is widely expected, and signed into law by Governor Jerry Brown, the early primary would allocate California's massive hall of delegates just after the nation's first contest in Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, and South Carolina. Now look, I live in California. I'd like California to have a bigger voice. That sounds pretty good, okay? So what's the issue here? Just think about it for a second. Who's from California? Oh right, the person that all the Hillary Clinton donors and staffers are flocking to, Kamala Harris. In fact, here, let's quote Politico, and they don't point this out at all. They're just giving facts like, oh, this is a wonderful, interesting legislation, they have no opinion on it. I'm the one connecting the dots here. So the earlier primary could benefit at least 2 potential presidential contenders from California. United States Senator Kamala Harris and Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti, while jeopardizing the prospects of other candidates who will struggle to raise enough early money to compete in expensive media markets in the nation's most populous state. Look, is it all a smoke-filled room plot to make sure Kamala Harris wins? I never believe in smoke-filled rooms. I don't believe in conspiracies. I believe that it is people serving their self-interest that wind up getting to this situation, even if it's not Kamala Harris. And my jury's out on her policies, so I'm not dead set against her. I just know that it is a noteworthy that a lot of the Hillary donors and staffers are flocking to her potential campaign. That's all. It doesn't mean that her positions are bad. But even if it's not her, you move the California primary up with all of those votes online, most populous state. Well, if it's not Bernie Sanders, which progressive is going to have enough name recognition early enough to be able to compete in California? Which progressive is going to have enough money early enough in the primaries to compete in California? In fact, Don Fowler knows this. Don Fowler is Clinton 101. He is a former head of the DNC and totally team establishment, team Clinton. Fowler says, in all probability, the winner of the California primary would be the nominee. So this is not an accident. This is not, oh golly gee, oh, I don't know anything about this. No, it's Don Fowler going, let's move up the California primary. And by the way, who else is in California? The power brokers that would help decide this election, Dianne Feinstein. Totally against single payers, totally against progress, totally against change. No, maybe later. Jesus, Senator Feinstein, you're, what are you, 84? When is later? Nancy Pelosi, not single payer, nope, not in favor of it. Nope, we're gonna do gradualism, we're gonna do the establishment. I'm really good at raising money. And so they will help decide our nominee. Great, can't wait. More about the money. First, candidates who are able to raise more money early on will likely welcome the change, since California is a notoriously expensive state in which to compete due to its size and multiple television markets. So if you're gonna do the Bernie Sanders strategy and you're not Bernie Sanders and you don't have the name recognition, you need time to build up your campaign. They saw that unfold in 2016. They saw that he got stronger and stronger as he went along. His fundraising got bigger and bigger as it went along. If you put the giant California primary in the beginning of that process instead of at the end of that process, good night, Irene. You're never gonna be able to raise enough money to run ads in California. The state's too big, the markets are too big. Los Angeles, San Francisco, San Diego. This is not a coincidence. You put the California primary that early and you're rigging it for the establishment. And so how do populist progressives win? They do what's called retail campaigning. You meet more people, you do rallies like Bernie did, and you build up momentum. And again, Politico doesn't mean this at all. They never talk about the establishment in the piece. They just lay these things out like innocently. Okay, so they say, and they go back to Fowler. Fowler said that a retail candidate cannot compete in California. It's just physically and financially impossible. So it's not like the Clinton ally doesn't know what he's pushing for here. He does know, and he's almost joyous about it. Like, you're never going to catch on to this. And why would California not want to move up their primary and have more say? It's an easy win. And then once we get to the primaries, we're going to go, oh, did a progressive candidate not enough have enough time to win all those ballots in California? Golly gee. So if you're in California, no, say no. I know it's tough to say no, but don't worry about your self-interest. Worry about what the right thing to do here is. And by the way, if Bernie does run, which is still a very good chance that he will, he'll win California easily. He has more name recognition than even the California senators like Kamala Harris. And so I don't know if he's going to run, but even so, it's not fair. And by the way, it wouldn't be fair to even anyone running against Bernie Sanders. The reason Hillary Clinton won the last primary is because Bernie couldn't close the lead. He closed a 60-point lead, but he couldn't close it quick enough because Hillary Clinton had overwhelming name recognition and in the beginning had overwhelming money. How is anyone going to beat Bernie Sanders, or if he's not running, an establishment candidate with all that money and all that name recognition that quickly? They're not going to be able to. So the establishment might be unwittingly setting a trap for themselves, thinking Bernie's not going to run, and we're going to steamroll any other progressive that doesn't have enough name recognition. I understand the trick. So, you know, they talk about three-dimensional chess and never play. This actually is three-dimensional chess, and it is being played out 3 years ahead of time. But we see you. So I vote no. Even if it were to help Bernie, on principle, I vote no. So look, I don't know that, God, they sprung just like that. I mean, it was so quick. I don't know that you've got enough time to go talk to your legislators in California and tell them to vote no. Man, they got 1,000 tricks up their sleeves. And it's never about getting enough votes or convincing enough people that they have the right policies. It's just about how do we move the levers of power to get our guys in the office, right or wrong? Well, at least now, because of the internet, we see you. All right, quick break. We'll be right back with how Trump is trying to fire Robert Mueller. All right, back on the Young Turks. A couple of tweets for you. Heiserberg says, "Cenk, you're being a little hard on Ted." I'm sure Ted is hard on himself over this. Not a big deal. Hashtag different strokes. Dylan Lochner or Lochner says, "I'm getting a kitty today, and after watching this story, I'm thinking of naming him Fuck Hillary Clinton." Okay, Dylan, don't. Okay, so despite how angry I get, it isn't personal. I don't want to keep rubbing it in to Hillary Clinton and saying you lost, you lost, you lost. I just can't let these guys run roughshod pretending that she didn't lose, that it was somehow someone else's fault, she didn't run the campaign. It's just maddening. So I hope to, if they would just stop trying to blame Bernie Sanders, progressives, Susan Sarandon, etc., we could just get on with our lives and not have to say anything bad about Hillary Clinton. Okay, last one is Vivi Horvat writes in, "I'm German and have a herd of ponies. Healthcare, unemployment insurance, social security / pension, maternity and sick leave, vacation." I know, they're ponies, you can't possibly get them except for the rest of the civilized world has them. Okay, great point. All right, let's go here now to talk about Medicare. Okay, more Democratic stories, but this one's a good one, okay? So we have been fighting for Medicare for All for quite some time on the Young Turks, and so have the Justice Democrats. They are running some primaries against Democratic candidates and then running in general elections against Republicans, and they believe that you should be a strong Democrat, a strong progressive, and one that fights for economic justice and social justice. Not that complicated. And you should be uncorrupted. So obviously they're for Medicare for All. And in the House, John Conyers had a wonderful bill that was for Medicare for All. We decided that, hey, we should support that. So Just Democrats, along with the Nurses Union, started a petition just democrats.com/singlepayer. It got over 100,000 people on there. It's way past that now. You should also sign it. And guess what happened? It worked. So in the House, it went from 72 co-sponsors of the bill to 118 co-sponsors. That is a lot of votes that Justice Democrats helped to move. Why? Is it because they're political geniuses, etc.? No, it's very simple. It's politics 101. This is a position that your voters agree with overwhelmingly. 80% of Democratic voters agree with Medicare for All. So all we're going to do is put a spotlight on it and ask you one by one, why are you not supporting Conyers' bill to fight for Medicare for All? Well, then Bernie Sanders, unsurprisingly, decided he was going to do Medicare for All in the Senate. Wonderful. So then all of a sudden, a spotlight came to the Senate. So in the beginning, there was just one. And I remember doing many clips about why won't anybody support Bernie Sanders. And then all of a sudden, as pressure grew, there was two. Kamala Harris joined. Now, I don't care about her motives. I care that she's voting the right way. Bless her heart. That was wonderful. Then Elizabeth Warren joined. Not surprising. She's one of the biggest progressives in Congress. Cory Booker then joined. Again, couldn't care less about his intent. I care about his votes. And then all of a sudden, Jeff Merkley. But once you've got Booker and some of these other guys, Merkley's a real progressive. Then Gillibrand. Okay, I get it. Everybody running for president is now having to sign this, which is awesome. Exactly what you want. Then Sheldon Whitehouse, a guy who's progressive quite often. Tammy Baldwin, another progressive. Okay, now we're making progress. And this is a lot of this is in the last 24 to 48 hours. And then boom, Brian Schatz. Mazie Hirono, both from Hawaii, a super progressive state. Ed Markey, progressive from Massachusetts. Richard Blumenthal, all of a sudden, we're making progress. Now, that's a dozen senators that are saying, yeah, Medicare for All, that's what I meant. Yeah, of course, Medicare for All. I mean, I hadn't done that before, but I'm doing it now. Hey, look, as long as they vote the right way, I don't care how late they come, as long as they come and we actually get it passed. And obviously, this is the beginning. Then you've got to get other Democrats, then you've got to get the Republicans, or defeat the Republicans and actually get it passed. We're perfectly aware of how this process works, but this is a great beginning. And we're doing it because of you guys. If you don't put the pressure on, and you don't ask your congressmen, and you don't ask your senators why they're not supporting this bill, it's not going to get done. So our work is nowhere near done on the Democratic side. In the Senate, there's still 36 Democrats. So that is obviously 75% of the Democrats, 3/4 of the Democrats in the Senate still have not signed on as co-sponsors. If I was you, I'd ask them why. I'm going to show you how to do that in a second. So not on board yet, Al Franken, who is going to wait a couple of years, and then once the parade's really up and running, he's going to then join it and tell us how progressive he is. Anyway, Ron Wyden, again, on some issues, a huge progressive. I don't know why he hasn't signed yet. Sherrod Brown is often considered among the top three progressives, but he hasn't signed. Somebody should go ask him. And then the leadership, Chuck Schumer, Dick Durbin. Chuck, there's a parade. You might want to jump in front of it. Chris Murphy fighting for the public option, but hasn't signed up for Medicare for All yet. So again, just Democrats are on the scene. We believe in creating pressure. We believe that that's how you win in politics. So all we're doing is very, very simple is here's a picture of the people who have said yes and the ones who haven't said yes yet. Hey, I'm not the one voting for you. You're the one voting. I'm not the one who has to talk to their constituents. You are. So if you want to say, hey, no, I won't support what 80% of Democrats won't want, what 60% of the country overall wants. If you can't support something that 60% of Americans are in favor of, and it is very clear polling that that's what Medicare for All polls at. If you just said, hey, you want into Medicare? Medicare polls at 77%. I mean, if you can't win on an issue like that, what are you doing in politics? But hey, it's your call, not my call. You're the senator. Are you going to be for Medicare for All, which is incredibly popular? Or are you going to go with your donors? I mean, why else would you not back something that 80% of your voters want? I don't know, you tell me. And if it's not your donors, what is it? The tranquilizing drug of gradualism? Okay, our job is to put a spotlight on folks. So we got a new petition for the Senate. JusticeDemocrats.com/BernieBill. Go put this one over 100,000. Go put it at a million. make sure that you ask all those senators. Look, I picked six there, but there's a ton of them. There's 36. You could go find all those names. Go to at Justice Dems on Twitter, and you could see that infographic. You could see exactly if your senator has signed on or not, and make sure you send them that petition. All right. So they asked Nancy Pelosi about this because it's getting a lot of momentum in her own house. Now the overwhelming majority of Democrats in the House wants Medicare for all. She's still at a no. She was at a no, but she tells us she's a master legislator. She said that over and over again as to why she should be the leader. Master legislator leading from behind, master legislator choosing not to legislate. Interesting. And when asked recently, she still said House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi declined to back a single payer healthcare bill drafted by Senator Bernie Sanders. But the pressure has gotten so significant that even Joe Manchin, the most conservative Democrat in the Senate, said about single payer recently, quote, it should be explored. Damn. It's funny how primaries have a way of clarifying things. And then once he talked to the reporters and then went back to his office, and then his staffers said, are you nuts? Do you know who donates to us? And he said, no, I have no idea who my donors are. Go back and check our interview with him. He then went back and talked to reporters and said, well, I'm quote skeptical that single payer is the right solution. But we've even got Manchin wavering. We're going to get them all. It is a deeply popular position, not only in the Democratic Party, but in the country overall. We should have health care for everybody. Medicare covers everybody. It does it at a lower cost and covers more benefits. There is no reason why we shouldn't be let into Medicare. Let's go.
Another senator on the board.
Is that right? Breaking news.
Like Paul Wellstone, I believe healthcare is a right for all Americans. My statement on co-sponsoring Senator Sanders' bill by Senator Al Franken.
Really? Look at that. You see that? We're doing it and immediately live. He goes, okay, all right, all right. Okay, thank you, JR. I did not see that breaking news. But what did I tell you? In the last 24 to 48 hours, boom, boom, boom. Go get that petition to every senator. And you know what? I always give credit where credit is due. So I was just telling you Al Franken didn't sign on. He usually likes to be late. Okay, nope, he's number 13. Bless his heart for that. You vote the right way, we'll take it, and we'll take it every time. Medicare for all, let us in already. That's what progress looks like, and you do it through politics so that you get to the right policy. Okay. They said Justice Democrats wouldn't have an effect. All right, guys, I got to take a quick break. When we come back, impeachment proceedings perhaps around the corner. I'll tell you why. All right, back on the Young Turks, Derek Martin writes in, if the Dems were smart, they'd give Bernie all the credit for Medicare for all and ride it to a 2020 victory, holding my breath. Don't hold your breath there. Okay, on YouTube Super Chat, Tony R. Casillo 1 wrote, and hey guys, it's your viewer from Homestead, Florida. Glad to be watching from Orlando. Irma literally followed us Friday, Tampa to Orlando. Insane and maddening, but safe and happy to see TYT live. Thank you, Tony. We appreciate it. And JR made a good point during the break. If you remember, it was one of our reporters, Naomi LaChance, who chased down Al Franken and asked him if he was in favor of single payer, and he sort of brushed her off. Well, something about that spotlight. Anyway, bless his heart, he's on the right side now, okay? All right, let's go over here. Okay. So Axios with a really interesting new report out about Donald Trump once again thinking about firing the special counsel, Robert Mueller. I'm gonna get to that in a second. Let's give you some background first. Recently, a Russian politician, Vyacheslav Nikonov, a member of the Duma, that's the ruling assembly in Russia, said on live TV that US quote, intelligence missed it when Russian intelligence stole the president of the United States. Interesting. And so where there is smoke, sometimes there is fire. But look, it's okay, we have an investigation. Whether there's smoke or fire, they're gonna determine. And so if they were investigating my connections to Russia, I wouldn't be worried at all because I don't have any connections to Russia or Kazakhstan or anywhere else, right? So Axios reports, so Mueller is borrowing in hard to the obstruction of justice angle. So that's on the issue of Trump firing Comey to block the Russian investigation, which he admitted to on national television. Kind of an amazing moment. I told you he's too stupid to do a cover up. Anyway, they point out also that Republicans, that's not Democrats, that's Republicans close to the White House say every sign by Mueller, from his hiring of mafia and money laundering experts to his aggressive pursuit of witnesses and evidence, is that he's going for the kill. Damn. So one of the things that Mueller is focusing on is Trump originally wrote an explanation of why Comey was fired. So let's go to that portion. They say the angry, meandering draft White House justification for firing Comey, which was never released but obtained by Mueller, could be used as evidence of Trump's unvarnished thinking when venting to staff. So if Trump himself wrote a memo saying, I got to get rid of Comey because of the Russian investigation he's doing on me, I mean, it's textbook obstruction of justice. I mean, there's the angle of why does he want to obstruct justice so badly? Probably because he did it. Okay, and that's a whole separate part of the investigation. But the obstruction of justice itself is a significant crime. And when you say, oh, I'm going to fire a prosecutor because he might prosecute me, it doesn't get him any more obstruction of justice than that. So now, latest reports is Axios is saying that Trump associates tell me, that's Mike Allen and Jonathan Swain at Axios, tell me Trump mused about firing Mueller. So he's back to thinking, this guy's getting close. Is it time to fire the next prosecutor? Which, by the way, would be further obstruction of justice. Why don't you write a memo about that or say it on national TV again, you knucklehead? Okay, but now one associate said the damage would be as horrendous as firing the Pope. Okay, that's right. And the only reason you would even contemplate such a thing is if you did it and you think he's gonna find out you did it. And unlike a lot of your staffers and a lot of the Republican colleagues of yours, you know you did it. So two very important petitions here. We had started this one earlier saying that if Donald Trump pardons anyone that was involved in his campaign or his administration, he should be immediately impeached. So I'm not saying do impeachment now, let the investigation go and let them find out. I have no problem with Mueller coming back. And if he says, look man, whether he did it or not, we just don't have enough evidence, well, that's a sad day for us. And that would be, I think Donald Trump's a danger to the world, but it doesn't mean because I don't like the president or I don't agree with the president or I think he's dangerous that we get to remove him from office. That's not how it works. There has to be a crime. But if you are pardoning people in order to cover up for your crime, that's obstruction of justice. If you're firing prosecutors or special counsels to cover up for your crime, that's obstruction of justice. That is a crime. And that would be an impeachable offense. So we did that one earlier, that was tyrtnetwork.com/pardon. But today, I also want to start this because he's apparently trying to block this investigation every way possible. So we're saying if Donald Trump fires Mueller, he should be impeached for obstruction of justice. So these are very straightforward, very clear. tyrtnetwork.com/obstruction to sign that petition. But the reason we have to do these petitions, and from time to time they do work, as we see with Medicare for All, is that you have to put pressure on politicians. They naturally lead from behind. They are not bold leaders as a bunch. You have to tell them, hey, listen, we greatly object to the president clearly breaking the law. If he pardons people who broke the law in order to cover up an investigation of himself, he should be impeached. If he fires a prosecutor looking into his own investigation, he should be impeached. Not before, but if he does do it, that is textbook obstruction of justice. That is a crime, and you have to proceed to impeachment, because if you don't, then he's above the law. And we don't have a president anymore, we have a dictator, and you're giving him carte blanche to break any law, and then pardon himself, his family members, his administration, his campaign officials, and then to fire any prosecutor who dares to investigate him. That is where you must draw the line. So I hope both Democrats and Republicans get all the pressure in the world to realize that we are a country of laws, not of men, and that we cannot allow this man to run amok. If he fires Mueller, impeachment proceedings should start the very next day. Okay, I'm out of time here in the first hour. I do have a lot more stories for you guys. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna do an OT today, overtime. So the way it's gonna work is we got hour two coming up. Anna's got some amazing stories for you guys, including a spectacular case of political correctness by the right wing. And then we're gonna do a post game for the members, tytnetwork.com/join. And then for the members, I'm gonna do a whole another segment, including an outrageous case of discrimination against Muslims in Kansas. It's actually a little bit heartbreaking, but Joe Scarborough and the rest of the establishment sucking up to the generals as usual. So all that is if you're a member and you can watch that, tytnetwork.com/join. Okay, we'll be right back and give you the amazing stories in the second hour.